Yeshiv Kabbalah is a non-profit organization founded for the distribution of the wisdom of Kabbalah and its values. It serves to support the growing need for a spiritual movement and promotes the self-education of the wisdom of Kabbalah, and therefore empowers the student to achieve his or her life goals. Learning the original principles of this wisdom can reconnect us with the true values of our society, including the belief in the dignity and freedom of man, democracy, and the freedom of speech.
So tonight is Rosh Chodesh, the new moon of the new month of Taurus, and for the month of Taurus, there are a few ways you can access to the understanding of the month of Taurus. But first of all, before we go into it, we need to do a little introduction, because it's not very clear to many people that Taurus goes together with biblical studies, for instance. Because many people think that, you know, if you're a traditional Jew or you are a very religious Christian, or something like this, you would think that astrology and the Bible, they don't go together. Anybody heard about something like this?
Yes.
Right? So how come we are basing our studies about the biblical teachings and we talk about astrology? So we have to understand that there's no contradiction. We just have to understand better the concept. Now, what are we talking about? Basically, astrology that is known in the modern world, in the Western world, is starting historically from the ancient Sumerians some 4,000 years ago. Now, accidentally, like maybe by coincidence, maybe not, who lived over there at the same time? Abraham. And the Jewish tradition says that Abraham, he made a living from astrology. That was his major, major way of making a living for most of his life. Basically, he put the foundations for what we know as modern astrology. There is also a book that is called the Book of Formation. We're going to use it tonight. That this book is Jewish tradition says that Abraham wrote the book. Nobody found a copy from the time of Abraham, but if you read the book, you see that it's not a book that can be related. And I read some research by people of academy about the book. It doesn't fit any era they know. Doesn't fit. Although Jewish tradition says it was passed down the generations orally till Rabbi Akiva was a great sage. During the second century, he is the one who wrote it down. So, we haven't been there to check it out, but the way the book is written, you see, there's no religion in the book. It doesn't have like a biblical traditional background. So, Abraham, as Kabbalistic tradition is saying, he put the foundations for astrology, then later on, he went through transformation. And he realized that there's another level. And then came out with the Kabbalistic astrology, which is different. Now, what's the difference? Sorry. The difference can be explained by two stories. One story sets the understanding of astrology among the Sumerians and later on by the Greeks. And with the rest of the world. Another one is the Kabbalistic understanding of astrology. For instance, the story of King Oedipus. Everybody heard? So, how does the story go? The story goes that there was a king, the king of God, in Greece. He had a son, a baby boy that was born. And astrologers told him that when his son grows up, that's going to be a monster. He's going to kill his father, the king. He's going to marry his mother, the queen. He's going to take the throne. He's going to have children from his mother. Horrible. So a monster like this has to be killed. The king is sending his baby son to be killed, but it doesn't happen. Finally, the child grows up, becomes a big man. He kills his father, not knowing it's his father. Takes the throne into Babel, and marries the queen, which was the widow of the previous king, that has to be his mother. And he has children from his mother. Terrible story. What is the lesson of the Greek tragedy? Is that if you're destined to go through something, there's nothing to do about it. Which means, it's written in the stars, it's the will of the gods, and the will of the gods is crazy, lunatic, cruel, and there's nothing you can do about it. And that's what it is, and you have to accept it. But there's another aspect. If you go, let's say, to the Talmud is full of tradition, stories, teachings, wisdom and stuff like this. And they attracted Shabbat in the Talmud. It's full of astrology. If you're born under the sign of this, you should be this and this. If you're born under the sign of this, you should be this and this. There's even a whole argument in the Talmud saying that whoever is not using the wisdom of astrology, he is despising God. Because God created it for people to use. And if you're not using God's creation, it's like you are... What's the word? You're abusing the creation of God. He created it for you and you're not using it. So it's abuse of God's creation. And that's a curse, because if you're not taking God's blessing, God's bliss, what do you stay with? With a curse. And that states also in the Talmud in Tractate Shabbat. In the same Tractate Shabbat, there's a story. The story about Rabbi Akiva. Remember Rabbi Akiva that from the previous story? And Rabbi Akiva, there's a story that when he had a daughter, he went to the astrologers and he asked them what's going to happen with his daughter. And their answer was that it's going to be terrible. When she grows up, she'll get married, and on the night of a wedding, she'll die from a bite of a snake. Now, if it was a Greek tragedy, how would that go? He would be a king, a rich man, he was a rich man. He would put his daughter on a tower on a desolated island, so she'll never meet any man, she'll never get married, and she'll never die from the bite of the snake, right? But if it's a Greek tragedy, there's going to be one day, there's going to be a storm, and a young prince passing by on the shore will be hiding in a tree, and the wind will lift the tree up in the air and land it on the balcony of the princess, right? She wakes up in the morning, she goes out, and she sees this young handsome man on the balcony. She'll hide him, she'll marry him, and she'll die on that night from the bite of a snake. Can't run away from your destiny. That was not the story with Rabbi Akiva. Not just that he didn't keep it in a secret, she knew about it all her life. It says she was worried about it all her life. When somebody offered her to get married and he was a worthy man, her father said yes, and there was a wedding. And in the morning, there are screams from the room, and everybody runs to the room, and she's standing there with with a big hairpin, with a snake, dead snake at the end of the hairpin. So her father would ask her, Rabbi Akiva, what have you done that you've been saying? So the story is that that time the fashion was that women would grow long hair. They had hairpins, long hairpins to hold the hair. When they went to sleep, they put the hairpins in the hole in the wall next to the dresser. So that's how they, so when they get up and they got dressed up and they did their hair again, they would take it out of the hole. So the night after the wedding, when the snake was hiding in the wall, and when she stuck the hairpin in, it was killing her. The morning she picks up the hairpin, it comes out with a snake. So the prophecy almost has been fulfilled. And again, her father is asking her, what have you done, my child, that you were saved? And she says, I feel that it was last night, there was a wedding, and Rabbi Akiva was the leader of the people in the world at that time. Was also a very wealthy person, very famous person, all the who came to the wedding. And she said that when I was sitting to eat, I saw from the door, from far away, the door of the that hall, wedding hall, there was a poor person, very hungry, and he was asking, begging for food, but nobody had time for him. Because all the waiters were so busy with all the important people around, so finally I got up and gave him my food. Jewish bride, she fasted that day. So it's not so easy, first of all, for a bride to notice a poor person at the door. Second, not to be annoyed how it'll be to come and disturb her wedding. Third, to give him her food that she didn't eat the whole day. That's a big thing. So Rabbi Akiva says, what you have done, my child, is to prove that charity can save from death. Now you have to remember, Rabbi Akiva is known that when that new student came to him and said, teach me the whole Torah while I'm standing on one leg, what was his answer? Love your fellow man as yourself. That's the whole thing. That's the inclusive rule of everything. All the rest is commentary. So that's the way he raised his child. So he trained her all her life to transform her nature, to be of giving and sharing, although she was supposed to die from a bite of a snake. And that's how she changed her nature. That's how she changed her destiny. So we have two different kinds of astrology. We have the astrology that tells you the way it's written in the stars, that way it's going to be. And there's astrology that tells you that that's the way you're born, but that's what you've got to start with, and that's what you're going to transform. And these are the tools. So, learning astrology from the Kabbalistic point of view is to learn who I am, what I am, how am I going to be influenced from astrological forces. And by understanding that, if I can understand it now, I can control the now, and the now is the seed of the tomorrow. Okay? Especially when we're coming to a time which is like Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh means the head of the month. But in English you don't say head of the month, you say the new month, the new moon. Why you say head? So again, Hebrew is a language that is basically the language, the Kabbalists call it the language of the branches. Every word is a branch of a root that is deep in the spiritual world. So when you say in Hebrew, Rosh, you mean the head, but you mean also what is controlling. Because what controls the movement of our limbs? The head. Which means nobody thinks that a person moves his hand without having a thought about it in his head first. Hello. So again, when we have the word head appearing, it means here's the control box. So when he says Rosh Chodesh, the head of the month, that's the control box for the month. When he says Rosh Hashanah, what does it mean? The head of the year, which means here's the control box for the year. So it signals that you have here, whatever you do on that day has significant influence on what's going to happen on what follows. How can that happen? So you know. So when something is in the seed level, you can control what's coming later, which means this is the beginning of the agricultural year. So you have the control. You can plant wheat, you can plant corn, you can plant potatoes, right? That's a seed, which means that you're in the status of Rosh. After you planted potatoes, it won't grow corn, right? What can you do? It can grow better potatoes, smaller potatoes, bigger potatoes, depends on what, but it's going to be potatoes. What can you do about it? And where comes the planting of the potatoes that's not the corn? From the head of the farmer, right? That's where the thought comes, and that's how it starts. So again, it goes to the head. Now, so why are we sitting here studying about it? Because it says in Genesis 4, Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, and Adam knew Eve, and she got pregnant. What does it mean? It means they had a connection, and the connection brought pregnancy. For us, what does it mean? How do I connect to the forces, the powers of that month? This is the month of Taurus. How do I connect to it? Knowledge. Adam knew Eve. Why is the Torah using the word knowledge? Why not another word? Use other words. Torah has no shame to use other words when it needs. Why the words knowing? To tell us when you know, when you study and when you know, you create a connection. When you create a connection, you can make, have an influence. What does it mean? As long as my arm is connected to my head, I can move my arm with my thoughts. The moment the arm is severed from the body, the thoughts are not connected anymore to the arm, therefore, the thoughts cannot move the arm. Is that clear? So, the connection in this case is the nervous system. In the spiritual world, the connection can happen by creating conduits which are consciousness, state of mind, especially knowledge. The knowledge creates a connection, connection creates control. Okay? So what we're going to do right now is to learn the secrets and the meaning of the month of Taurus. Now, first of all, let's start with the month of Taurus. And the month of Taurus has many aspects, but all of them support each other. First of all, in Hebrew, the month of Taurus is called Iyar. Iyar is very close to the Hebrew word Or. Or means light. So it's a month of light. It's known in many Kabbalistic writings that the month of Iyar is a month of full of light. A lot of light in this month. So of course, I can read any kind of astrological description of the month of Taurus and there is a lot of light in this month. But then comes the question, why? Why is there so much light? And to support the idea that there's so much light, first of all, Iyar is not a biblical name of the month. By the way, most of the months, the Hebrew year, do not have names. They do not have names. They have first month, second, third, fourth, till the 12th. The first is Aries, and 12, of course, is Pisces. Very few of them, they have months being mentioned in the Bible. One of them is the month of Iyar, and his name, the biblical name, is Ziv. Ziv in Hebrew is a synonym for light. So, it's another name that means light. So it has two names. Iyar, which is light. Ziv, which is light. Something also that we know that it's the only old ancient holiday this month is the Lag BaOmer, which is the celebration of the death anniversary of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. That on that day, he finished to write the book of the Zohar. Zohar means in Hebrew, light. So if already three words in connection to light, connected to the month of Taurus. We know also the planet that is the ruling planet for Aries, for Iyar, is Venus. Venus in Hebrew is Noga. Noga in Hebrew means light. So if you have like, it looks like the word in Hebrew that means light has something to do with the month of Taurus. The question is, how come, and that's again the difference from Kabbalistic astrology and regular astrology, how come there's so much light in the month of Taurus? Why? Regular astrology, conventional astrology does not deal with the question. That's the way it is, this is the tradition, it's thousands of years we know about it, we don't question. Okay, like religion. Kabbalists will explain that it's not very hard to understand. First of all, the Hebrew year of the year is divided into four seasons. Right? Why four seasons? Whenever we see four, we understand that goes by four phases of the evolution of the vessel in the cosmic realm. And that's a whole lesson that I won't go into right now. But this is the basic DNA of everything in existence. It has to go in order for something to manifest, it has to go through four evolutionary stages. Okay? Now, that has a manifestation also in the holy name of God, what is called the Tetragrammaton. From the name of it, you know it has four letters. Tetra is four. Right? So it's the Yud and the Hey and the Vav and the Hey. Yud and Hey, Vav and Hey. That's the names of the letters. Now, each one of them has a power of its own. The Yud is the power of fire, the He is the power of water, the Vav is the power of air, and the Helase is earth. So you have like four elements, which is fire, water, air, and earth. Is that clear? That's why also, according to the Kabbalistic understanding of the year, the four seasons are divided also. The first season, the spring, all 3 months are ruled under the energy of the element of fire, which is Sfirat Chochmah, which is you. The other 3 months, the month of the summer, this is the upper hay, and that's Binah, and that's water. And that's why, for instance, the first 3 months are full of energy, because Aries, Taurus, and Gemini are full of energy. People of these signs are very full of energy. The other 3 months, the dominant power, about Cancer, Leo, and Virgo, they have to give. Cancer has to feed you, Leo has to tell you what to do, and the Virgo has to give you criticism. But all three are about excess giving. Right? Excess, uncontrollable many times, of giving. Okay? The other three, that's a fall, you have Libra, Scorpio, and Sagittarius, that's air. Air is the energy of intellect and justice. They're all very much about everything has to be really. It's more important to have justice than anything else, than food, for instance. Okay? They'll kill for justice, they'll. Okay, after that you have the other 3 months, which is the winter, that's earth. Earth means I need. They're very needy. And that's Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. They're very needy. They always need to have whatever what. Information, food, money, control, possession, love, warmth, safety, but it's very much about needing. Because that's earth. Earth takes. Okay, that's very shallow, but now that we know that each one of these seasons has its power, it's also every season is divided into three sides. Why three? Can't have a light bulb without three forces, right? Us, minus, and the filament. Correct? So the first of every month is a plus, the second is a minus, the third is the filament, the balancing agent. It fits every side. So, if we go to Taurus, the first season is fire, right? We said fire. Aries, Taurus, and Gemini, they're all about energy and energy, energy, and very, and all three are very selfish. Very self-centered, about their thing. Okay? That's one thing. Aries is the right column, that's why they have a lot of energy of sharing. That's why it's very nice to have Aries friends. Because they always want to share. Because they're right column. Taurus is a left column that's receiving. So it's a fire sign. It's a fire from the fire season, self-centeredness. It's the left column, fire of the fire, and it's also an earth sign. That's why Taurus are some of the most selfish people on earth. Okay? Now, it's very similar to Capricorn. That also Capricorn has a lot of me stuff. It's earth and it's earth, it's double earth. It's a lot of neediness. That's why they're control freaks and that's why they always have to have money and then they always lose it. But they're always hungry for, how can I have more? Well, Taurus, they're not so hungry because they always get more. What's the difference? The difference is that Taurus are in the beginning. In the beginning, that's where all the energy starts. It's next to their head. So there's a plenty of it. So when they want something, they immediately get it. Immediately get it. It's very easy to get it. That's why is it a month that is full of light? Because when do you draw light? When you have a vessel, right? So Taurus is a big vessel to draw that light in. And therefore there's so much light during the month of Taurus. So much light that King Solomon, when he started to build his temple, when did he start? The month of Taurus. He wanted to have a lot of light in his temple. So he decided that's the time he's going to build his temple. Okay, now. So what do we get from that? A few things. One of them. So we have here one of the greatest Kabbalists from 200 years ago. His name was Rabbi Tzvi Elimelech of Dinov, and he wrote a book about astrology. It's called Mei Sefer. And he says, צירוף הוויה שולט חודש הזה יוד קי קי וו. First of all, If you take the Tetragrammaton again, it's a Yud, Hey, and Vav, and Hey. There are, how many conjugations do you have for these four letters? 12. Mathematically, you can have only 12. Each one of them is one zodiac sign. Each one of them is the DNA energy sequence of one zodiac sign. The one, four, Taurus is Yud, Hey, Hey, and Vav. What's the significance? Usually, the upper Hey is a source of light. The lower Hey is us, that we need the light. So, usually, we have to pull the light down, and how do we pull the light down? Through the Vav. But if you notice, the Vav is a very skinny letter. It's a pipe. And if it's blocked, no light is coming through. Okay? So all our work is always to open up ourselves, to share, to care, to be in connection with the upper world and so on, so the light and the bliss can come to our lives. It's hard work. Whoever knows, to have the feeling of bliss in your life, it's not easy. It's not easy. Because the pipe is narrow, you have to extend the pipe by extending your sharing, your giving, your awareness and stuff like this. But in the month of Taurus, instead of Yud K Vav K, it's Yud K K Vav, which means you have a shortcut. We're connected directly to the source of light, which means no effort. It comes in. The light comes in. But if you learn Kabbalah, you know there are no free lunches, right? You buy now, you pay tomorrow, but you pay. Right? It's easier to get the, you know, whatever you want on Taurus, but you are going to pay. Okay? And how you're going to pay? Sometimes they come to confiscate whatever you got. Oh, how come? You know? You didn't pay for that. So, in Taurus, maybe you can get easily whatever you want, and a lot of it, but you have to be worried. The more you get, the more you have to share and pay. And you think you can have it free. It was effortless that you got it. No. No. Maybe you're not old enough to realize that, but no. Doesn't work this way. So, so the Neichar says, Tzuf Havai HaSholet B'Chodesh Hazeh Yud Kei Kei Vav, so it's the permutation of the Tetragrammaton is the Yud Hei and Hei Vav. And each one of them has a verse, a biblical verse that is the initials, that this permutation is the initials of that verse, and that the code verse of this month. And the code verse of this month is from Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. And it's Italel Hamitalel Haskel Veyadoa, which is about the happiness and the joy, rejoicing of learning and understanding and knowing more. Fits, right? Knowledge, connection, whatever. Because it bonen bedivrei Maran Arizal, and if you read the Ari Akadosh, the Rabbi Isaac Luria from the 16th century, the greatest Kabbalist since Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in the 2nd century, Besot Tfilin Derashi Tfilin Derabbeinu Tam. In that Tfilin Derashi Hu Havai Al Kipshutam Mi Yad Bechodesh Nisan Yotzei Pasuk Yismuchu Hashamayim Betegel Haaretz Tfilin Derabbeinu Tam Besot Tzuruf Yud Kei Keiva Yotzei Pasuk Yitalela Mitalel Haskel Vyadoa. וכתב האריזל שהתפילין הללו הם המסוגלים מאוד להשגת חוכמה. שתתבונן כל זה, תבין כי גם החודש הזה אשר מאיר בעצור פנן מסוגל להשגה. אוקיי. Whoever knows what is תפילין. תפילין is like, pray, you know, if you want to explain it in simple language, it's praying boxes. Okay? It's mentioned in the Bible. And these are little black boxes made of leather, okay, that you have inside pieces of parchment with sections from the Bible. Okay, from the Bibles of Moses. Four sections. Why four sections? One symbolizes the Yud, one the Hey, one the Vav, one the Hey. Fire, water, earth, air and earth. Okay, got it? Very simple. Now, they appear in that sequence And there are two kinds of tefillin. One is called tefillin of Rashi. There was a great sage of 1,000 years ago in France. He was teaching about the importance of having it this way, and most, let's say, traditional Jewish men in the last few 1,000 years, they put these boxes on weekdays on the head, on the right, on the left arm, next to the heart, when they pray. Okay? Now, the filling of the head, the box, there are four parchments organized, again, from right to left, you, the hey, va, the hey, which means each one of them is a little paragraph from the five books of Moses, that the first one symbolizes the Yud, second is the Hey, third the Vav, fourth is the Hey. In the box that is next to the heart, on the left arm, you have one long scroll that all the four parts are written there in the same sequence. And that's the one that traditionally, most traditional men, Jewish men around the world, that's what they do every morning when they pray the morning prayer. Okay? Now, but there's another tefillin. It's called Tefillin Rabbeinu Tam. There was another sage at around the same time that he said, there's another way you can write the tefillin. You can reorganize the order of the little paragraphs. Instead of Yud, Hey, Vav, and Hey, Yud and Hey, Hey and Vav. Like the sequence of Taurus. And usually the tradition is that very people usually connected to Kabbalah, the Hasidic or Sephardic, whatever, they, after they are married and they finish the morning prayer, they put the second pair of tefillin with that sequence. Okay? The sequence that connects to the month of Taurus. And what is that? He say that this helps a lot to achieve higher reflections of higher understanding of cosmic wisdom. Okay? So we understand by that that this month, because this is the sequence of this month is a month of wisdom. The month that people can arrive to higher levels of wisdom, cosmic wisdom, spiritual consciousness. Now, if you take the word light, as we said, but just change the order of the letters, you get Yareh. Yareh means in Hebrew awe. And it says in a few places, it says in the Bible that the awe of God is the beginning of every wisdom. And the knowledge of God starts with awe. There's no wisdom and no understanding without awe. Which means, again, what is awe? There's a difference between awe and fear, right? Fear is something that you have from something unknown. Fear makes you freeze. Fear gets you less intelligent, right? You lose a lot of IQ when you're afraid. It's a very reactive, negative emotion that sabotages your behavior, your body functioning, whatever. Too much adrenaline that creates all kinds of bad metabolism, correct? But awe is something else. There is a touch, a little bit spice of fear, but fear of something that is awesome, right? Which is something you can see. That's why Iyar, Yare, and Reya, sight, are all connected the same letters. To see. You have, the more you start to understand the wisdom of God, the bigger is your awe. You can't be ignoramus and to have the awe of God. There's no way. You see people, the more stupid they are, the more careless they behave. Right? Because they think the world is that simple as they understand it. Right? They limit the world into the realm of their understanding. Cannot be that the world is more complicated than the way I think. You know? And these people are really dangerous. Right? Because if they think they got everything, you know, you can't let them mess up with important stuff because they think that they don't see beyond their horizon, which is very narrow. Is that clear? Okay. People that have wisdom, they have wisdom goes with awe. Which means the more you see, the more, you know, awareness you have. Okay? And the awe is the kind of fear of God that makes you be careful, makes you learn, makes you open up. And that's the energy of the month of Iyar. So it allows you to achieve wisdom. It allows you to listen. Allows you to open up. Okay? Now, so one thing that the Bnei Sakhar teaches us from the Ari is the month of Iyar is very powerful for achieving higher wisdom, achieving the awe of God, which means achieving expanding of our ability to connect to cosmic wisdom. The other one, here we bring from the book of formation of Abraham the Patriarch. And it says over there like this. בספר יצירה המליך עוטבר בירור וקשר כתר וצרפן זה בזה. So, Abraham in his book, the book of formation, explains that the world is being built from 22 building blocks. 22 basic foundation building blocks. Each one of them is a frequency of its own, and each frequency is represented by what we know as a Hebrew letter. Now, you have to understand that Hebrew, again, is not a language that was created for people to converse with each other. Although you can converse in Hebrew. It's a language that is created for to converse with cosmic forces. The Hebrew word for letter is ot. In Hebrew, it's the same word also for a signal, for frequency, for pulse. It's an energy. Ot is energy. So, a letter is not a letter, a message, you know, like in English, but it's a pulse, it's an energy thing. It's an energy entity. That's what a letter is in Hebrew, ot. Now, so when we say the Sefer, so Abraham says that the universe is being created from 22 letters. And basically, it's 22 signals, 22 frequencies, 22 basic energy forces that are represented by what we can understand, we can see here as called Hebrew letters. Okay? Now, Himlichot Vav Yehu, so the letter Vav in the thought of God, Kashar lo Keter, connect to it a crown, and whoever knows what a crown, Keter means, it's a seed for, it's a control. Keter is even higher than the head, right? Because the crown you put on the head of the king. And it makes somebody, a commoner, to become a king. So the crown is a seed, the control of the head, correct? And here also, Keter means also to surround. To surround means in Hebrew also to be the cause of. Okay? So, by the way, most Israelis have no idea what I'm talking about. So, don't think that because you don't speak Hebrew, it's weird. For Israelis, it's also weird. You tell it to Israelis, they say, oh my God, I never thought about it. Because they never thought it, unfortunately. They speak the language, but they don't speak the language. They think they do. Okay. So, the letter Vav formed the sign of Taurus and the month of Iyar. Okay? The letter Vav. Now, the letter Vav, as we said before, from the Yud Kei Vav Kei, from the Tetra Gamatan, is the conduit that brings the light in. Oops, we have another one. Okay? What else we have about it? So, it's also, and I'll continue with that later on, Chodesh Iyar הוא נבחן ומנוסה בחוכמת הרפואה. Chodesh Iyar is also very good for healing. The most powerful verse in the Bible for healing is mentioned in the book of Exodus after the splitting of the Red Sea. And there God says to the Israelites, כל המחלה ששמתי במצרים, all the sickness and the diseases I put in Egypt, לא אשים עליך. If you follow the rules of the light, all of these diseases I won't put on you. כי אני השם רופאיך. Which is very powerful. אני השם רופאיך is I'm God, your healer. Now you have to understand. The healing force of a human being is the light force of God. Everybody knows that, if he is connected to himself. So we shouldn't go to doctors. We can go to doctors. We should go to doctors. But doctors can heal only the body. They cannot heal the soul. So what the Maggid of Mezrich, a student of the Baal Shem Tov, the father of the Hasidic movement, said, Chol katan baguf, chol gadol banshama. If you see a little hole in the body, it shows it a big hole in the soul. Which means if the doctor can heal the hole in the body, and the hole in the soul is not healed yet, we know that the hole in the body will repeat itself. And we know that. If the problem was not healed in the source, in the core level, the disease will come back soon or later, sometime. So here we know that the real healing, again, it's not that we should go to doctors, but the real healing is the healing of the light of God. And the verse that says, Ani Hashem Ofecha, I am God your healer. Ani is Aleph, Hashem, God, is Yud, initial. Ofecha, your healer, Reish. Aleph Yud Reish is Iyar. Iyar. So from, we learn from that that the month of Iyar is a month for healing. Okay, we have the energy of healing in this month. Okay? And here he's saying, this month, Nivchan u'menuse b'chumat ha'fumah, this is already checked and proved to be a month for healing. Shumesugal l'refua, l'harik ha'itzomcha, min ha'ipushim v'chushat ha'ma, to strengthen the stomach. Itztomcha. Itztomcha is an ancient Hebrew word for itztomcha, stomach, right? So stomach is originally a Hebrew word. You didn't know that. Itztomcha, stomach, right? Mina ipushim, from all the dirt, and we know that a lot of diseases is when we collect a lot of stuff in our digestive system, and it's not being cleansed. So here is this ancient sage. This is a good month to cleanse. And a lot of people, if you notice, during the month of Iyar, many people think it's because, you know, bikini time is coming and you have to really lose weight. But I know a lot of people that don't wear bikinis during the summer, and the salary gets from, I have to do some diet, I have to do some cleansing diet, I have to do some grapefruit diet, grape diet, this watermelon diet, strawberry diet, there's all kinds of diets, cleansing diet, juice diet, whatever. Did you get the urge already? Okay, I heard already today a few people already started to go juice diet without hearing the lecture. But it's happening, like every year, well, this is the season. Why? It's the energy of cleansing. It's your body, you feel that your body needs to go through cleansing, and it's good for your body to go through cleansing during this time. ונראה לי הטעם שנשאר זה בסגולה בחודש הזה לכל החושות והחולאים על פי הרוב באים מן המחלים שאינם לפי מזג האדם. Usually he says most of the weaknesses of the bodies and the diseases is from eating food that does not fit the body. However, you know, there's a lot of theories about getting the food to fit the body, and when it doesn't fit, the body doesn't work properly. And he says also, this is also the month that the manna started to come from heaven. Now, what I'm saying is a very nice point about it. The manna had two things. One thing, it was healing the body. And he says the power of the manna was so strong that it was so powerful. Nimtza b'chodesh v'nitrafu kol ha'cholim. All the diseases of the Israelites have been healed by the manna. The healing was so powerful that it stayed impressed on this month that every year, although it's 34 centuries after the Exodus, that energy still stays in the cosmos. The energy of cleansing. And also, why they needed to go to the cleansing? Because they had to go to Mount Sinai and receive the Mount Sinai revelation, which is wisdom and understanding. So if you cannot have a body, it's very hard to have a body that is full of dirt, negativity, misfunction, whatever, and to connect to wisdom. It doesn't fit that much. Nefesh b'riah beguf bari. Healthy soul in a healthy body. The body can have circuitry and circulation, all what needs to do, then it's very easy, it's easier for the body to accept wisdom. But when the body is not ready for that, let's say many of the cleansing diets are a lot, if you heard a lot, if you really want to go on a cleansing diet, today it's people are very much aware of it. The first thing to stop is what? What? Sugar and white flour. Now what do sugar and white flour do? They feed the yeast that we have in our stomach, in our intestines. Okay? This yeast, the ancient sages, like thousands of years ago, before they were microscopes, they knew that it's yeast. They call it yeast infection. And they said that the toxins that they secrete, they create smoke in your brain. You know the feeling of like you have smoke in your brain? You're dizzy, you're tired, you feel fatigued, all of this? This is coming from the toxins that this fauna is releasing in your intestines. And they knew it thousands of years ago.
Cancer cells also feed on sugar.
And cancer cells feed on sugar also.
Autism, they say, comes from that. And some people claim that they've been cured from that because they stopped it.
Okay, I can assure you that a lot of diseases and a lot of problems can be healed if you stop sugars and white flour, stuff like this. All the pasta, all of this stuff, that's good maybe for people who work in construction and for people running the marathon. All the rest that sit on the chair in the office, not for you. Not for you. You don't have to burn it, so don't eat it. Now, because who eats, who feeds on that? Those little creatures that are, you know, they're one cell, but they can secrete those materials that can control your brain and tell your brain that you want to eat more of it. Although you don't need it. Then you swell and you swell and you swell. Okay, cleansing. This is the time. Now, so what else do we learn about this month? So I think we had a lot about this month, which is, so we have the energy of healing, the energy of wisdom that we can get, and just for feminine light, what else can we? Okay, I'm not getting everything, but I'm getting another thing. We spoke about the planet of this month. The planet of this month is the planet Venus, right? Venus is the planet of love. Love. There's a lot of love in the air in this month. Okay? And love is, if you want to achieve wisdom, you must have love. Because what Rabbi Akiva was saying, all the wisdom is based on one thing, which is love the other person as you love yourself. Correct? Which means it's all based on love. Now something very, very weird if you go to it. The month of Taurus in Hebrew show, numerical value is 506, which is numerical value, ahavat chinam, which means unconditional love. What coincidence? So, we learned that in this month, it's also a month to work on creating unconditional love, and people that are connected truly to the sign of Taurus can create the energy of unconditional love, because there's the energy of Venus. But there's also Venus love for other stuff, right? There's love for, like Taurus, Earth, to earthly stuff, to beautiful things, to physical body, to physical food. So everything has two sides. Two sides. Okay? So in order to understand about Venus, that Abraham said that Venus was being created by the Hebrew letter Pei. Okay? Now, what is the letter Pei? Before to understand about the Hebrew letter, in the first volume of the Zohar, there's a very powerful essay. It's called the Essay of the Letters of Rabbi Himnuna Saba. And it's based on a very ancient legend that says that before the universe has been created, the letters came to God one by one to convince God, you should create the world with me first. Okay? They came, the last letter came first, Av, and then she and so on and so on, so forth. And the dialogue between God and each letter is basically the story of the energy of each letter. So here in the first volume of the Zohar, we will read about the letter Pei. Okay, that's in verse 27. First we'll read in the Aramaic because that makes us for the energy. Alat at Pei. Came the letter Pei. Amakame. So she said in front of God, Ribon Olmin, the master of the universe, Nicha Kamach Livrei Bialma, you should create the world with me. Because redemption in Aramaic Pukana or in Hebrew Pdut, they both start the Hebrew letter Pei. And because the whole purpose of the creation is for redemption, I'm the one that stands for redemption, you start the world with me. You should create the world with me. So God said to Pei, you are a beautiful letter. We know Venus is all about beauty, right? And that's why Taurus, they are all allowed around. Also beauty. But you also, the word Pesha. Pesha means crime. Also starts with Pei. Okay? But it's in hidden, in the hiding. It's like a snake that bit and hid its head inside his body. How does the letter Pei looks like? It looks like a snake that is rolled his head and hid inside his body. That's how the letter Pei looks like. Right? So God said, I don't really think that that's what we need over here to have the world based on. Hacheman dechav is like somebody really made a crime and he's hiding. His mouth is still dirty with the, with the pipe marks. So he hid his head. And he's showing his hands and his hands are empty. I didn't do anything. So why your head is hiding? He's hidden. Right? So that's what the letter Pei is about. So the letter Pei has a double face. One face is redemption, but the other face is crime. So that's how you see, you take the word Pesha, which is crime, you change the letters, you get Shefa, which means bliss and bounty. So it's the same letters, the same numerical value, which means every good thing has also its negative side. Depends what you're doing with that. The letter Pei, as we know in Taurus, it has two sides. One is the beauty of wisdom, the beauty of love, the beauty of healing and medicine, whatever. The other one is when if you don't pay for all this bliss that is existing in this month, it becomes a crime. Then it becomes physicality, it becomes limited, becomes mundane, it becomes corrupt. Okay? But we still have a lot of power this month. Now we have two letters that created this month. Pei for Venus, Vav for Taurus. Pei and Vav together is 86. 86, one of the most powerful numbers. The name of God, Elohim, is 86. It's also a numerical value, Hateva, the nature. Not nature, the nature. But we're talking about Mother Nature. In the Greek mythology, the goddess of Venus was Mother Nature, right? The nature is 86, which means the power of nature and control of nature is in this month. Okay? Very powerful month, correct? But, as we said, a lot of energy, a lot of wisdom, a lot of power, a lot of understanding, growth can be achieved in this month. Healing, all of these are connected. Love, healing, nature, whatever. So this month we should basically count our bliss, our blessings, write them down. Not just this, we can even more than that, like make a wish list of what is that we want to achieve in this month, because it's so easier to get it. But remember, there's a price. There's a price. What are we willing to pay for it? It's not going to come. It's going to come much easier. You know, Venus also, numerical value, is 58. 58 Noach, which means comfortable. That's why Taurus, they like to stay comfortable. They say the Taurus are lazy. They're not lazy. They're not lazy. You see, a lot of Taurus working very hard. They're working very hard only if they are sure that they're going to be comfortable in the end. Right? If they know it's not going to be comfortable in the end, they become lazy. Why? Because they're practical. Why should I put an effort if I don't see any result in the end? They're very practical. Which is, has to be comfortable. Has to be comfortable. Okay? And it's very easy for Taurus to become comfortable. You know why? Because they always get the light so easy. So they become comfortable immediately. That's why you see a lot of Taurus that it could be in the worst situation, the most painful situation, they're still comfortable. How come? Because of the direct connection to the light. So, you know, you connect to the light and you're comfortable again, right? So what if around is a lot of chaos? Who cares? I feel comfortable, so that's what's important, right? Isn't everything beautiful? Okay, so that's the energy of Taurus. That's the energy, and remember, Abraham, was the patriarch, was saying that it's not that we have Aries, Taurus, Gemini, whatever. Every human being is constructed of 12 signs. Different amounts of each. So each one of us has Taurus inside. This is the time that the Taurus becomes more dominant, more powerful in each one of us. So we can tap into the Taurus within to achieve the bliss and the gifts of this month. But remember, don't get comfortable about, oh, it's so nice to have it. You have to become realistic and practical. How much am I going to pay if I want that to stay? And the only way to pay is love that person, which means you have to share it. If you share it, it's the easiest way to make sure that something that you have is going to stay with you. Doesn't mean you get rid of it, but to find a way to create a circuitry that is not only yours. That's not comfortable. It's very comfortable to keep it. Oh, I love it, it's nice, it's mine. That's comfortable. The discomfort in life comes when you hold it to yourself. You know what happens at that moment? If the light of God is endless, and every comfort and joy and love and wisdom is a kind of extension of the light of God, healing is extension of the light of God, wisdom is an extension of the light of God, love is extension of the light of God, money and sustenance is extension of the light of God, and that's also in the month of Taurus. It's all extensions of the light. They're all different extensions of the same thing. But it's the month of light, and light is about what? Ongoing movement. Can't stop the light. So the moment you stop something and you become the last station of that movement, that moment light is gone. So you want it to stay, you have to keep it moving. Like the economy. You know, people holding the money for themselves, they took the money out of the economy, right? The economy starts to slow down. There's economy only if there's a symmetry. Okay? So that's about the month of Iyar. Also, we have to understand the month of Iyar is very important part of the counting of the Omer from Passover to Shavuot. It's the only month that is all within the counting of the Omer of 49 days. And the counting of the Omer is about cleansing, about connecting to wisdom, about preparing ourselves to wisdom and to achieve the light of healing and immortality. So it's really fitting inside. Any questions? Okay, so thank you.